What's up, everybody? Welcome to a very special Kinda Funny screencast. I'm your host for the day, Greg Miller, and this screencast is going to be all about American Born Chinese over on Disney Plus. All 8 episodes are up right now. You can watch the first episode on YouTube for free, but I digress. Why are we talking about American Born Chinese, you may ask? Well, first off, the show is great, but more importantly, Gene Yang made it. You know Gene Yang. Of course, he's been supporting Kinda Funny since the spare bedroom, like the original spare bedroom. Like, he came to colonize house one day, and we didn't really know him that well. We're just like, do you want to come to the spare bedroom? And he said, okay, and he did, and it was great, and we became lifelong friends. Of course, he talks about comic books. He writes comic books. He does all these different things, but he wrote a graphic novel called American Born Chinese that people love. It has been something that has touched them for years. It has spoken to a very specific experience here in the United States, and it's so good. Disney Plus said, you know what, let's make that into an 8-episode show that's available right now. It's all up in its entirety. Episode 1 is on YouTube. You can get it for free to try it there, but trust me, you're going to want to go watch the entire thing. So Gene said, hey, can we come by and talk about it? I said, that sounds like a great idea, and he decided to bring some of the cast with him. So we have Yan Yan Yeo, we have Chin Han, we have Ben Wong, and we have Gene Yang here to talk about American Born Chinese on the Kinda Funny screencast, because the Kinda Funny screencast is Kinda Funny's premier entertainment product. Of course, you can get it on youtube.com/kindafunny. Podcast services around the globe every time it posts, whether it be talking about everything happening in the MCU, whether it be everything happening in DCU, whether it's something about Fast and Furious, whether it's just reacting to a trailer, the screencast is always here for you because of our support on patreon.com/kindafunny. Over on patreon.com/kindafunny, of course, you can get each and every episode of the screencast ad-free. You can, of course, get a bevy of bonus content, hundreds of episodes of content that's gone nowhere but patreon.com/kindafunny. And, of course, you can keep this dream, this independent dream of Kinda Funny, 11 people making stuff about the stuff they love, you can keep it alive on patreon.com/kindafunny. Just like our Patreon producers, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, and Nathan Lamoth did. Today we're brought to you by Bird Dogs, but enough of just staring at my face. Let's talk to everybody who made American Born Chinese. As I live and breathe, Yan Yan, Chin Han, Ben, and Gene, welcome to the Kinda Funny screencast, and congratulations, everybody, on American Born Chinese. Here's where we need to start. Yan Yan, Chin Han. Yes. Yan Yan, for you, it is what, 3 a.m.? And Chin Han, for you, it is 5 a.m.?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The dedication of this cast to this product, Gene. The people you've assembled for American Born Chinese. Are you kidding me right now?
They're amazing. They're absolutely amazing. I had very little to do with it, you know, because you don't have to cast. You don't actually don't have to cast for a comic book. So I had no idea how that process worked.
Yeah.
So I kind of, while they were casting, I was just sitting in the background watching. And it was incredible.
So obviously I need to get to performances. Obviously we need to talk about the show. Obviously we need to tell everybody to go watch all 8 episodes on Disney Plus. But Gene, for you, storied Kinda Funny best friend. You've been here through every iteration of every studio we've had. How surreal is it for you to see this graphic novel you made now? We're late on the smoke. Now a full-blown show.
It is so surreal. It is probably the most surreal thing that I have ever experienced in my life. You know, I remember being on set on the very first day of filming. It was down in L.A. It was on a high school campus in L.A. And I watched Ben and Jimmy, who play Jin and Wei Chen, the two main characters of the show, sit on the steps talking about a toy robot. And that was kind of a panel from a book that I drew over 15 years ago coming to life. It was incredibly surreal.
And so now, Ben, for you to step into this role, how much did the graphic novel actually influence what you did? Because Gene wrote a graphic novel, then sold the name, and there's nothing in this book in the show. So, like, you know what I mean? You just got to go do whatever you want, I assume.
Yeah, it's true. It's great. what it was less that my performance was influenced by the graphic novel, and more that the graphic novel felt like it fit my own personal experiences so well that I just get to go and do my own thing, and it works.
What? Talk to me about that. What is it like? I mean, is the character and what Jin is going through similar to what you've gone through?
Yeah, totally. I remember Gene on the first day we were shooting, on that day that Gene was talking about, like one of the first things he asked me when we were chatting is like, he was like, you have to do a lot of research for this role. It's like this, you know, this like awkward teenagers, you have to do a lot of research. And I did. The answer is yes, I did. I did a ton of research. What I did was I actually went to a rural town in Minnesota.
Oh.
And I lived there for 18 years.
Oh, wow. A method actor.
Yeah, in research for this part. And it really helped imbue me with that sense of awkwardness and social inferiority that Jin is dealing with. For real, though, the first time I ever read the graphic novel was when I got the audition. And it was after I read the like two pages of dialogue that they give you to audition with. I was like, this is already like it was the scene between me and Yan Yan in the store. It was like the first scene of the show with real people and not monkey gods. And we're just like shopping, right? And she's picking out all of these clothes that I don't like. And I was like, I've been there. I've done that with my real mom. So it was an immediate recognition that this was like, this is just me, basically. All of these things are taken from scenes in my life, it feels like.
Yan Yan, did you feel the same way?
No, I never go shopping with my child. God knows, they have to buy their own clothes. No, I found that that's exactly the same scene I was reading when I first read the script, and it was fantastic. I fell in love with the character Christine immediately because she's not the usual tiger mom that I see in being represented in the shows. She's full of love. She's full of trying so hard to understand. And when Ben and I first read it, when I saw him on Zoom, because it was still COVID time,
sure,
when we were reading it. So when I first saw him on Zoom, I was just going like, oh, you're so cute. And he just go like, oh, I'm 23.
I'm a man.
I have a 401k.
Yeah. It felt terrible, but we did a great read the first time we read with each other, and we just had a connection immediately before we met each other, and that's how we started there.
You talked about you don't see mothers represented this way or this usually in terms of these kind of shows. Yeah, usually. I want to go obviously throughout the entire cast and then to Gina, obviously. But the question here, I think, to start with you, Yan Yan, and then move to Chin-Han, like when you read these scripts and you go set off to make this show, did it feel important? Like, did it feel? And I obviously every job is important, but did it feel like, oh, we're representing a culture here. Oh, this is going to be so many people's first glimpse into what this kind of family is like.
At first, it wasn't that for me. At first, I just felt that it's a wonderful story of a family. It tells the story of a family that was going through happy times and sad times, and this boy is going through his growing pain that the parents are also searching for what they want in their life. So, but when the show started, Ben and I actually had a great experience. When we were walking on the street, a mother came to us and talked to Ben and said, are you from American-born Chinese? And she talked to us with a teary eye and said that my son is so inspired by the show. He loves the show and we love the show. And I started talking to her, and Ben said, would you like to ask your son to come over? And so she called her son to come out. He's 11 years old. And he started to talk to Ben, and I was talking to mom. And then she told me just the day before, somebody just told him to go kill himself.
Oh, my God.
So we went into like half an hour conversation. We ended the conversation with teary eyes, and we know that their mom is also a first-generation immigrant from Romania. And at first, you know, really, it is a warm, sweet story for family for me. Then I realized later that it is actually a story for many people. It's across the world. It's universal. It touches people's heart. It gives people warmth and love.
I think you nail it, right? And I think that's what, like, for me jumping into the show, even, right? And it starts with the monkey gods, and like, okay, cool. And then for that juxtaposition of being in the clothing shop, right? You're like, oh, I can relate to this. I've had my mom clothing shop and embarrass me in front of somebody. But then to go into a different culture and see everything that's happening in this family, right? Everything that's happening in this community, to see it through Jin's eyes, right? Of trying to fit in, not stand out, like, there's so much going on for it. But I think another huge compliment has to go to you, Chin Han, of like, you did such a great job in this show of being that stern father and me being like, ah, I'm not going to like this guy. And then getting those glimpses behind it and seeing you at work and seeing the Bon Jovi stuff, I was like, this is awesome of how quickly this became a show that isn't just Jin's story and his overbearing parents or what's going on. It was that everyone's important in this story and what their things are. Chin Han, did you feel that importance too? When you're reading the script, you're like, oh, we're doing something that's going to resonate outside of just, you know, being a show?
Well, it starts with the script, always, right? I mean, I think the responsibility is to the source material, and that's how we approached it in the beginning. But as we went along, you know, we realized how personal it was for every single one of us. You know, I mean, bringing our personal experiences to bear upon the performances. And that is the difference, right? I mean, I've done quite a variety of genres of films. And with those films, the acting process is more about artifice or bringing on more behavior or more psychological processes. But with this, it almost felt like we were reverse engineering in some way, because instead of building up characters, we were stripping down all our, you know, all our quirks and socially learned behaviors to get to the heart of our own experiences and our true experiences, so that we could get a level of authenticity that, you know, that we could all relate to. So it was the process is actually reverse in a way, you know, instead of building up, we're actually stripping away so that we can get to the heart of the matter. And I think that is it. I mean, I think if you look at all the characters, Yan Yan playing the mom, and Yan Yan herself is a mom, and then Ben playing my son, and Ben actually is my son. But you know, we bring so many pieces of ourselves to it. Even like Bon Jovi was such a beautiful thing to have, because my father, when he was here with us, I mean, he was such a lover of singing. He would go to karaoke lounges almost every at community centers almost every week, you know, and that was something I could see and I could hear and I could then manifest. So I think that was why I think it was so meaningful to us, and it's, you know, it's doubly meaningful now that it's out there and we get these kinds of responses. We were over at we had dinner, right, one time, Yan Yan and Ben, at Century City in Los Angeles, and then we were going down the elevator, and we this family they ran after us and they were shouting down the stairs, "We love you, we love the show." And you know, I think that kind of response is gratifying. It's gratifying in such a deep way. You know, I mean, we can do very cool movies and superhero movies or big action movies, and you can have people come up to you and say, "You're so cool, you're so badass," but there's nothing like, "Oh, you remind me of your dad or your mom," or "I cried when I saw this scene that spoke to me. I miss my parents." That stuff is incredibly meaningful.
Yeah, and I think it's deserved, right? Again, it's a show that does so much. There's so much going on in this, from the fantastical to being so grounded. And Ben, for you in particular, I was so uncomfortable watching so many of your scenes where you go to see, like, Jin. Oh, that's what I want to hear. Great. Welcome. No, but like, you know, Jin and Travis, or when it's like, oh, I know this is about, they're going to make the social media clip out, and like watching you or your character struggle with that and do that. And I was like, oh my God, like, it's that thing when I know that I'm white knuckling in the chair while I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, I'm all in on this. Like, was it painful to relive these kind of moments and these things, or, you know, however your Minnesota 18 years of upbringing brought you to?
No, it was great.
Yeah,
it was great. It was actually the best thing ever to relive all of my childhood trauma. I'm not joking. It's like I don't know. Some people have that power fantasy of if I could go to back to high school now with everything I know, I'd really nail it this time. Except you get to actually do it. It's like running the, there's like the simulator they put like PTSD people through to like relive their trauma. It kind of felt like that, where mm-hmm. I got to go back into the simulator and then like exercise my demons a little bit by living out the actual somewhat terrible memories of my childhood. But also in doing that, it kind of sort of helped me take a look at them from afar and like deal with them in a way that I hadn't been able to before I worked on this show.
Sure.
So it was great.
Does part of that great come from the fact of like, you guys get to educate people, if that makes sense, right? Like, I think there's people coming to it of like, they see themselves in the show, but then there's people coming to it of like, who see the relationships, but then the information being presented like, oh, I never thought of it that way, right? Like,
What's so great about the show is that it's the way that it's written, the way that it's constructed, and the way that the story is framed, is that there's always context for everything that happens, right? Especially with like the scenes with Freddie Wong, there's, these scenes in isolation can really, they're presented very in a very bare way, right? These clips from an old 80s TV show with sort of a racist caricature in it are presented as pretty much written and done as it might have been done in the 80s or the 90s, right?
Yeah.
But what gives it context is the framing that it has in the story, right? You cut from that clip to Jin's reaction to that clip. And in that cut, what the audience gets is this sort of immediate understanding of, oh, this is why that sort of media was not great for people like Jin, right?
Yeah.
And because of how well and how artfully all of that is done in the show, it gives me freedom to just really, especially in those uncomfortable scenes, to play them as truthfully as possible, right? Because I know the framing of the show and the storytelling is gonna sort of, like you said, tell the audience, sort of give them an idea about how to feel about these sorts of things and why these sorts of things happen.
Right, I think, one of the more, it's a scene you could blow past because it's not one of the action things and it's not something going on, but one that I thought was so powerful and interesting for someone watching this and not being raised this way or not being in this community or anything like that, right, was when Jin's at his locker and the two girls are watching one of the Freddie Wong clips, right? And then she's like, shh, shh, and like, what? And then, no, it's ironic. And it's that idea of like, and then the fact that I then watch Jin go, and like, oh God, you know what I mean? I'm like, what a painful, like, to see that and like have it through the lens of Jin, right? To even have it be like when the principal walks in and says, Jin Wang, and you have to correct the pronunciation of, Wong. It's like, oh my God, like, for so many people, that's the first time they're ever finding out watching this show that it's not Wang. Right. Like, oh my goodness.
Ah. Yeah, and that's such a great reaction, because what that means is like this sort of the empathy machine of filmmaking is working, right? It's the fact that Jin is the main character of this is so powerful, because it sort of forces the audience, whoever they are, to be in Jin's shoes and sort of experience this world as Jin, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that Kelvin always talked about, is having Jin, this main character, serve as, because he is the avatar, because he is the one that the audience pours themselves into and lives the story through his perspective, it helps them understand the specific situation of Jin, and that, which is something that maybe they never thought about before.
So then, Gene, talk to me about the graphic novel. How much of you is in that? Because, of course, the years we've gotten to hang out and talk about it, I know how much you put your own experiences into everything you do, whether it be Superman, whether it be Dragon Hoops, like you're in these things, you're living in these pages.
I mean, I think that's true for most people who do books, is we put pieces of ourselves into these stories that we do, even if they're fiction. American Born Chinese is definitely fiction, but I pull pretty heavily from my own life to tell that story. For example, like the it's three storylines, and the middle storyline, which involves Jin Wang, played now by Ben Wang, he is he's a Chinese-American boy growing up in a predominantly white neighborhood. And a lot of the stuff that he experiences are things that I experienced, especially when I was in junior high and high school.
Yeah.
You know? And when we moved it from the book to the show, what happened was, like comics, one of the things I really love about comics is that it's very intimate and the whole thing can be handled by a single person, right? So pretty much all of those experiences that Jin goes through in the book are from me. But then a television show is very different. And one of the things I really love about a television
show... Did you do the thing where you put the soap on your armpit and then the soap bubble up on the girl?
I totally did that.
That's awesome.
I 100% did that. Yeah. It works. You should try it.
I've definitely been there, but I just do the arms down. I'm not hugging anybody.
And the best that works, they don't really make this stuff anymore, but it was the gas station soap that came out kind of like powder.
Yeah.
That was the best.
Okay.
Anyways, when we moved from the book to the show, one of the things I really love about television is it's actually very collaborative. You need an entire team of people to do it.
For sure.
So you have this entire team of people putting their own experiences into the show. So I'll give you an example. This is a little bit spoilery, but I hope it's okay.
I think most people are here because they know they like the show.
But Jin is actually much more romantically successful in the show than he is in the book.
Sure.
And that is because Kelvin Yu, our showrunner, was much more romantically successful in high school than Gene Yang was.
Gotcha. A little glimpse into what's going on there.
Yeah. So I actually wonder about Ben. Like, Ben, you in high school, were you closer to Jin in the book or were you closer to Jin in the show?
Whoa.
Bust out the yearbook. You got the Minnesota yearbooks back there? Let's see what's up.
I really do. I like to think that I rode a middle path.
Okay. I see.
I like to think that I split the difference.
So then, before we swing back and go more through the show stuff, for you, Gene, like, what was the journey from graphic novel to show? Because obviously the graphic novel was a while ago. As I referenced earlier, if people only know the show, the graphic novel is quite different than what is the show.
Same characters, same themes, and we're hoping same emotional beats.
Sure.
But then the expression of those emotions are very different. And there are two decisions that we made very, very early on that kind of led to all those changes. Number one is we decided to move the story timeline from like the vague 80s and 90s, which is when the book was set, to now, to like the 2020s. And the conversation about what it means to be an Asian American has changed from then until now. So all of these things, like Suzy Nakamura in the second episode, she stands up and kind of stands up against bullying. That would never have happened in the 80s and 90s. Can you imagine? Like, you were around in the 90s. No one would do that. No one would do that in high school. But you could imagine that happening now.
Well, I mean, that's even the thing about in the book, right? Where it's like Suzy Nakamura and like Jin like make eye contact on day one and then don't want to hang around each other, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That kind of stuff, I think it's less realistic if you set the story now.
Sure.
And then the second thing was we decided to make it a television series instead of a movie. So a television series is open-ended, and what that means is the world has to be full enough to support a lot of different stories. So that's why we fleshed out the characters of Jin's parents. In the book, they only show up for a page or two. In the show, they're wonderfully developed, right? And then that's also why we fleshed out Chinese Heaven. So in the book, you only get to know a handful of Chinese gods. And in the show, there's like this entire pantheon.
Which is an awesome episode.
Yeah.
When you're up there at like the nightclub and it's like a period piece and like everybody's there and it's in Mandarin. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, that I would argue is the weirdest thing on Disney Plus right now is episode 4.
And that's saying something.
But weird in a good way. Weird in a good way.
This episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs make you look good. Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. They fit way better than regular shorts that are made of a stiff, restricting cotton. Bird Dogs use anti-stink, sweat-wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. I've been going down to the heat of Los Angeles with Gia a lot recently, and I've been loving the breeze thanks to my Bird Dogs. They got Oxford shorts, khaki shorts, bathing suits, and much, much more. My favorites are the Art Fart Knockers. And it's not just because of the name, it's because of the blue. But hey, The name doesn't hurt at all. Art Fartknocker, come on. Go to birddogs.com/kindoffunny or enter code kindoffunny for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/kindoffunny or use the promo code kindoffunny for a free Yeti style tumbler. birddogs.com/kindoffunny, promo code kindoffunny.
Yan Chinhan, talk to me a bit about the parents, because I ran into a lovely interview you guys had done where you talked about the fact that, yeah, you know, the parent, I gestured where there is no book in the book. The parents are only there a couple pages and you guys got the scripts, but then did a whole bunch of backstory stuff all on your own. Right, Yan Yan?
Yeah. What Chinhan reminded me that one of the interview that I actually had a song list. Playlist for Christine and Simon of the songs. Amazing. That when we met each other and when we hang out, when we were in love, we would go to karaoke and we'll sing those songs.
Is this playlist on Spotify? This is something you should put on Spotify.
Yes,
immediately.
It's a Spotify song list, actually.
Oh my gosh, you got to share it with me, please. I want to listen to this.
You can have that, of
Thank
course.
You.
Definitely.
And then, yeah, we created all the backstory for the couple, because to know what they've lost, we need to know what they had, you know, before. And I think that was very important for us to establish the stakes of the character, because they are fighting not only for their identities, they're fighting for their lives too, you know, especially being in a foreign country or being a minority anywhere, you know. I think that is the plight and the journey, I guess, of anyone who is willing to take the leap, you know, of faith to go into another place to, you know, to explore their dreams. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, we did that. We also spent a lot of time together, actually. And we went out to many, many things, right? We did, we had gone to a baseball game. We had gone to theater. Oh, this is funny, because we went to a piece of theater in Los Angeles and we had a late night shoot the night before. And
it was a terrible idea.
If you don't know, it's a three-act epic.
Yes,
it's about 12 hours long. It takes all night.
The Mahabharata
was acting his part out, but Yan Yan and Chinhan wouldn't know because they were asleep through. So they fell asleep somewhere through the second act.
Well, you were asleep too.
Three of us were sleeping in a theater. That was a terrible idea. Never go to a theater show as a family.
Three dedicated actors at the Geffen Theater, completely asleep. So that's what we got up to. I mean, we did a lot of things together, and then, you know, we would go for dinners together very often, and that really cemented, you know, the bond between the family, which obviously we still have today. And that was very useful when we were doing the show, because, you know, that's rare, you know. I mean, when you get to doing movies or TV shows these days, the kind of rehearsal time is rare. So, you know, all of us having done theater before, Yan Yan and Ben, I think we're particularly appreciative of this process, because the rehearsal process is really enjoyable for us. You know, it's something that we came from, and you don't get very much of in modern day television and filmmaking.
And I don't know who would be the best to answer this, but I'm going to toss that there and just start with Chinhan. Then you say that's not common, getting that much time. Why was that happening here with American-born Chinese? Was that something you all wanted, or was it something they knew the show needed to have this chemistry? Like, I don't know who can answer that.
What, did not enough time?
Like why you all got to hang out so much and rehearse and all that?
Yeah, if that's not common.
Yeah.
Is it? I don't know. It's common for me.
It's in her rider. It's in her contract.
I'm used to working like this, because when I came over to US, this is my first project in USA. I'm American born Chinese. This is my first work that I done in America. So when I came over, I wasn't with any expectations. So I didn't know what can I do, what can't I do. So I actually gave Chinhan a call and said, Would you like to have some coffee? I actually have some coffee from Singapore. It would taste good. Let's have a chat. Let's have a look at the script. Yeah. And then from the first coffee, and they went to lunch and then dinner, and then we will have another coffee, and we would just, I would just discuss it. There will be a lot of discussions about the character, the backstories, and then Ben will come in. Ben was staying in the same hotel as me, and then we will get to have lunch, we have dinner, and then we will hang out, we'll go to the grocery stores together. I mean, I'm so used to this, though. I don't know. And Chinana was always saying, like, this is unusual. I was like, yeah, but didn't we have great time? We had great times, right? Isn't that fun to have eating sessions all the time? This is how we bond together. I mean, I gotta say.
It's my first real look at how Hollywood works, you know? So I don't really have anything to compare to, but I do know that this production is unusually Asian American, meaning like half of the cast is actually from Asia and has more experience in the Asian movie industry than in America. And I feel like the way the show was put together was kind of a blend of how people do things in the Asian movie industry and how Hollywood does things.
Okay.
We had a good luck ceremony on the very first day of shooting with like roast pork. It was in the middle of a high school baseball field. They had this table with, a red tablecloth on it. They were burning incense. I shouldn't say they, because I was there too. We were burning incense. And like Ki Hui Kwan gave me a piece of roast pork. And I think he was the one that insisted on that, right? Because that was something that you do in the Asian.
It's actually Ki's wife's echo who was preparing the whole ceremony.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Ki's wife Echo is Taiwanese. Is that right? Is she Taiwanese?
Echo's Chinese.
She's Chinese. Chinese. Yeah. So the way everything happened was kind of like cross-cultural.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was super fun.
If you get season two, I want to come down to this big roast. But speaking of that, of course, we have a dedicated audience here at Kinda Funny of fans who are amazing and write in and consume all the content. We say, hey, our friend Gene's doing this and you should support it. And people go, I'll go support that. And they do. And tons wrote in with questions. This is one here who comes from an anonymous listener who says, hey, everyone, I love the show and want to congratulate everyone on their fantastic performances. I know a second season hasn't been announced, but if it were to happen, what would you be most interested in exploring with your characters? I'd love to see the parents get in on some martial arts action.
Ooh, I would love to hear what you guys say about that.
Let's start with Ben. What do you want to do, Ben? What do you want to do? If there was a season two, not that we're confirming or denying.
Yeah. I want Jin to be good at one thing.
But he's relatable when he's bad. I see him do things and I'm like, I did that bad too.
I don't care what. But we can pick one thing.
I feel like you're kind of good at kicking people in the face though, right? Jin is very good at kicking people in the face.
I kick myself in the face more often. I feel like I knock myself out. It's pretty funny because there's more than three instances in the show where I knock myself unconscious.
That's true. That's true.
Any given character.
That's talent. That counts. I feel like that counts.
Okay.
But you kissed the girl.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's true. That's pretty good.
Chin-Han, what would you want to explore, Simon?
I think I'd like Simon to join American Idol, I think.
Good.
Right.
Good.
Branch out. Stretch his wings.
First season.
Yeah. Oh no, you got more, Chin-Han. Go.
Oh no. I'd love to hear what Yan Yan has to say.
I want to kiss someone's ass. I would love to kiss some asses.
Wait, hold on. Did you say
there'd have to be a lot of character development for Christine to get to a point where she actually physically kicks somebody's ass?
Oh no! The first season that's already. Possibility that someone can transform into someone else's look.
Oh, I see. So
you didn't even watch the show. You didn't even watch the show, Gene.
Gene, yeah, please do watch the show more often.
Good answers. Okay.
Yeah.
What would you? I mean, and again, like, so Gene, you're the creator. What was your role through this process? Like, did they just take it and you come in and give notes? Are you there the whole time?
I was very lucky. I was asked to be an executive producer on the show. And to be honest, because I come from the world of comics, I had no idea what that meant before this all started. And I had no idea how rare it was. But it's because Melvin Marr, one of the other executive producers, insisted that I have that credit. And what I also realized after getting involved in Hollywood is that the executive producer role can mean a lot of different things. So for me, what it meant was I would just chip in when I could. The biggest thing is Kelvin Yu, the showrunner, and I became pretty good friends, and he would use me as a sounding board.
Oh, great.
And then the second thing was, like, they would sometimes need, like, sketches and that sort of thing, so I would do some sketches. There were some amazing artists that worked on the show. But every now and then, they would be so busy with other stuff that they would need a sketch for something, so I'd do it.
I love how that when it ends, every episode ends and the credits roll, and then there's art in there.
Right? Yeah. That was really fun to do. Yeah. That was super fun to do.
Okay. While we're talking to you, another anonymous question here to the kindoffunny.com/screencast comes through and says, I'm a huge fan of the original graphic novel, but found myself really enjoying the television show for its own merits, especially the storyline involving Jin's parents. Look it. You guys are killing it. What was Gene's favorite change that the show made to his original story?
I do really love the parents, for sure. I think the way in which Kelvin and his writing team captured the relationship between Simon and Christine was perfect, and one of the one of the scenes that really got me was when I got an early cut of the first episode, and at the very end of the first episode they have Simon and Christine fighting in Chinese. That brought flashbacks to me, because they, like, my parents did that, and it was the exact same thing. I'd be in my bedroom, I'd barely understand what they were talking about, and they'd be fighting like that. So that just felt so true and authentic. And the other thing I really loved is actually Guan Ying, the Chinese goddess of mercy. So she doesn't show up in American Born Chinese, but I do have her in a couple of my other books, like Boxers and Saints. She shows up, and she's played by Michelle Yeoh, who is a legend, who embodies her perfectly.
Your entire cast is legends.
They're amazing.
Present company included.
Incredible cast. Yeah, sure.
What was that like then? So, like, you know what I mean? Like, again, everybody here, but like, Michelle Yeoh, you have come through, and like, are you just going, I can't believe any of this is happening?
Yeah, I would get calls about who would be involved. Like, the first one was they told me that Dustin Cretton was going to be involved. Right? Yeah. The director of Shang-Chi was going to be involved. I was like, come on, that's not going to be real. And then it happened to be real. And then it just happened over and over again. They'd be like, this is going to happen. I'm like, come on, that's not real. And then it's real. We're going to go to the White House and we're going to show it. That's not real. That actually ended up happening. The whole thing was just so crazy.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was on your feed on Instagram where I was scrolling, and then it's just Biden with the image. Yeah. I'm like, dang, all right, Gene, you're doing pretty well. This show's doing pretty well, I guess.
Yeah, we were all there. We were all in this little, it wasn't that small of a room, but we were all in the same room as President Biden. It was very strange.
Was that strange for you all? I mean, Ben, to start with you. You get cast on a show. It's called American Born Chinese. I'm driving through San Francisco. I'm seeing it on the bus stops and everywhere else. I'm like, dang, it's doing well. And then I see President Biden standing there with your poster.
No, it was so weird. It's so weird. This is my face on the poster, too. So it's like, I sent that picture to my friends, and they thought that I'd Photoshopped it. You know, because it's such a perfect, like, dead on of the, they're like, ah ha ha, very funny. And then, like, 3 days later, one of them was like, wait, is this real?
Chin-Han, what's that like for you? Obviously, you've done a million projects.
That was very heady. I mean, that was incredible. I mean, when we went there, there was a band playing on the way in, and there was another band inside playing, like, movie music. Taking home those Joe Biden M&Ms was a real treat.
That's true. That's true. We got a little gift box.
That's awesome.
With Biden M&Ms.
And who was it? Who was it who said we needed to get napkins? And
you. What do you mean who? It was the whole time, Chin-Han was like, "I'm gonna steal some napkins."
Some napkins. Get it for the home.
They have the executive seal on them, so they're executive.
I didn't get any. Just the most powerful napkins. Give me one.
Was it Jimmy who went into the bathroom? He just took out.
Yes, Jimmy. Halfway through, we took a little tour of the White House before the screening, and then halfway through, Jimmy disappeared, and he came back, and I was like, "What? Where did you go?" And he was like,
"He took like the normal napkins,
the White House." Right?
Yeah, the napkins, the paper towels in the bathrooms have the presidential seal on them. Yeah. Which is insane,
and you wonder why,
right?
This country's so in debt. We don't need it. We don't need to worry about it. You buy the 2-ply and you're done.
Oh, it was like 18-ply. Those things were thick.
Yeah.
Those things were thick.
And then Yon Yon, you were there and you're just like, oh, this is just how American shows work. Yes. This happens for every show. They go to the White House.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have nothing to compare to. This is my first show in USA. And then I kept asking everyone, all the producers, anyone who passed by, just like, is this normal? Is this normal? So in the end, they just go like, yeah, it is. We do this all the time.
Yeah. Secret Invasion's coming by next week. They have another thing to show off.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get this final question in from the audience before I let you guys go. I know we're running out of time here. We'll go through everybody, but I'll start with Yon Yon here. What other current Chinese American works inspire you? Thank you for all so much for the show slash story. It's such a gift.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch Joyride.
Yes,
it's already in Singapore right now. It's actually worldwide distribution, so I can't wait to go into the theater and support the film. And I want to watch the film because the trailer was just really, really fun to watch. Yeah.
Mm. Shin-Han, what about you?
I would love to watch Past Lives. I know it's in the US already, but we haven't gotten it here in Australia yet. But yeah, Past Lives is something that I want to see because I think anything to do with you know, love and romance and emotional, you know, kind of emotional substance. I think I think we need more of. You know, I'd love to see Asians in that kind of situations and in those kinds of genres more.
Yeah, I saw Past Lives with Yan Yan, and I think it's probably my favorite movie of the year so far. So that's probably going to be my answer too.
Dang, I got to see Past Lives.
I'm in the middle of a graphic novel, reading a graphic novel by Victoria Ying called Hungry Ghost, which is pretty heavy. It's about a young woman struggling with an eating disorder, but she is such an amazing cartoonist that she adds this layer of loveliness on top of something that's very difficult. And then the other graphic novel that came out recently that deals with the Asian American experience is called Family Style by a good friend of mine named Tim Pham. And it also deals with something really heavy. It deals with the refugee experience. But Tim is a really funny guy. So believe it or not, like it's this story about a family going through this very tragic thing, but it's like you're constantly laughing because he's able to bring out the funny in even something very, very difficult.
Okay. Gene, my final round of questions here. Two rapid fire ones for you, all right?
All right.
Did you feel personally attacked when in this show, the teacher makes the same ex-wife joke and then the class immediately corrects him, but in your original work, the teacher makes the joke and it's just, that's what it is?
That is part of the updating.
Yeah.
That is part of the updating, right?
Yeah.
In the 1980s, you can make that joke.
Yeah.
No one's going to say anything.
Yeah.
And in 2020, 2022, 2023, you're not going to be able to make that same joke.
I loved it. I loved it when the class just shut him down immediately. And that teacher was just great in general. Like when the principal walks in.
Oh, he was
like,
great.
Like, what are you doing? Great. Why are you doing this? And then my other question, this is inside baseball, but you've been along the entire ride. I'm watching the show. I turn on Disney Plus. I click on my little Miss Marvel. That's my icon. I go in. I scroll past Secret Invasion. I start it. There's a lot of DC stuff, a lot of DC comic stuff, not a Disney property in Jin's room. Was that like a problem?
That believe it or not, it was easier for whatever. I don't even understand the rules.
Yeah,
but for whatever reason, it was easier to put DC stuff in that bedroom than Marvel stuff.
Wow,
so weird. Like I don't understand why, but there's some legal rules that make it easier for us to put DC stuff. So we did get some Marvel stuff in there, but I know like Superman and
Batman's in there for sure,
and Batman and I think Green Lantern are pretty prominent. Right.
Okay. Look at you.
Yeah, I do love that though. I do love both companies.
Oh, I know you do. Yeah. Oh, I know you're buttering your bread on both sides. I'm aware you're all over the place, Gene Yang. He'd be doing any comic book you give him a chance to do. Final question I have for everybody, but I'm going to start with Eugene, then we're going to go right down the line, right, to close it out, is one that I learned a long time ago in journalism school, and I like to put in all my interviews for sure, and especially for all of you who have been talking about this show, promoting the show, being all about it. What's the question you always want to be asked, but nobody has asked you? Like, when you think about this, what is the one thing you're always like, you get, oh, I wish we could have talked about that or done that or whatever. Like, for Eugene, what is that answer?
You're
for
such American a good Americans? Interviewer. I don't even know if I can think of a
get out of here. Get out of here. Is there nothing that jumps off the page? Nothing you think about?
Nothing that comes to mind immediately. I mean, I think when I look back on the experience of being involved in this show, you know, the first season, it's just been so incredible. All I feel is gratitude. I feel so much gratitude for the people I got to meet, for the work that I got to watch them make, and the experience of telling the world about it. It's been incredible.
Okay. Ben, what's the question no one ever asks you you want to answer?
I don't know. I feel like I'm just happy to be asked any questions at all. I mean, this is my first press junket, you know what I mean? So everything's been great. So I'm like Gene. I feel fulfilled.
You know, Ben's also a musician.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just followed Ben on Instagram yesterday, so I'm just learning. I'm learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays guitar. So what about this question? What's your go-to song for impressing somebody that you potentially want to date?
Oh my God.
I want to learn the game.
Here's
the game
Wonderwall,
of Ben,
everybody.
Yeah, the game of Ben Wong. What's Ben Wong's game?
Well, it depends on who the person is.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's
but
a great answer.
Depending on who the person is, it's either Hey There, Delilah or Don't Think Twice, It's All Right or These Days.
So what would you suggest Jin play to impress Amelia? Like if you were to give Jin advice.
Oh, I think if I were to give Jin advice, I'd tell him to play Hey There, Delilah. But he would probably play These Days because he'd overthink it.
Chin Han, you've been on a million press junkets. what does no one ever ask you that you wanted to talk about?
No one's ever asked me what my workout routine is.
I've asked you that, Chin Han.
For the dad bots?
How did you get that six pack? You know, no one's ever asked me that. But only because I don't have a six pack. But yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, as somebody who is interviewing you, we just don't want to bully you down to a sex symbol. You're so much more than that, you know? Like, we don't want to just do that. Focus on the good looks.
You're more than your abs, Dad.
Okay. I should put that on a t-shirt. Oh, that's great.
You're more than your abs, Dad.
Yeah, Han Solo. Chin Han Solo. Yes, very
good. Oh, yes. So we have this thing where... It's Chin Han Solo, Master
the Yoda,
because it's Yo Yin Yin, and Ben Kenobi, basically.
Big Star Wars fans, I love
so
it.
Nerdy.
Yeah. So nerdy.
Chin Han loves this bit.
We're still waiting for our new t-shirt, Chin Han. Thank you.
I'm very proud of him. I'm still working on it.
You know, hopefully you'll have a season two and then a lot of time to work on it and get it done there. And then, Yanya, for you, what about you? Is there anything in the show that on all the interviews you've done, no one's let you talk about that you want to talk about?
Maybe for this show, maybe ask me about how I feel being working in America for the first time. Yeah.
How do you feel about working in America for this one?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Because of the people that I've met, because of the team. It's just incredible. Not just on set, even after we left set, even when we started promoting the show. Like today, I am extremely happy to see the boys. I mean, these three boys. Like, I'm extremely happy to see them because I haven't seen them for a month now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're extremely happy at 3:59 a.m. Yep. Again, just a point.
Yes, even though it's 3:50 a.m. I have to wake up at 1:30 a.m. But I am so happy that I'm able to sit with them and talk about the show. I just can't wait to see them.
Well,
and that's how I feel when I come into this team without expecting what's going to happen. And then after a year, almost 2 years now, the relationship just gets stronger.
I love it. I love it. Congratulations. Y'all
happens on every show.
Yeah.
Happens on every show.
Oh, is it? Is this normal?
This isn't special at all. You all have made something truly incredible. Of course, I love American-born Chinese. Gene, congratulations on making it. Congratulations to you guys for bringing it to life. All 8 episodes are up right now on Disney Plus. You should go get it. You should go watch it.
Have and the time. First episode is on YouTube for free.
There you go. Look at that. Always selling. The book available now has been for a few years, but you can get it out there. Get a part of that. Oh, you got your copy too. Look at that. Everybody's promoting it. Everybody's doing great. No, Ben, it's too late. You don't have it. That's on you. It's too late. Go get your yearbook.
Never read it.
You've read it. Yeah, right. Never read it. Okay, like I said, American Born Chinese is awesome. You should go get it. Just like you got this episode of the Kinda Funny Screencast. Remember, the Kinda Funny Screencast goes live on youtube.com/kindafunny. Podcast services around the globe all the time. Talking about MCU, talking about anything, DCU, anything you're going to see on the silver screen. Joey's just watching random stuff, and then she comes in here and talks about it on the Kinda Funny Screencast. So no matter where you got the show, please consider like, subscribing, and sharing. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.